Hello everyone, Scott Myers here, and I wanted to make you aware of the upcoming Self-Storage Academy, which is coming to you live, backed by popular demand as the economy begins to open up again. The event will be held May 13th through the 15th at the luxurious Florida Hotel in sunny Orlando, and it's been totally revamped to give you the tools and resources to successfully find, evaluate, negotiate, finance, structure, and manage self-storage facilities in our new environment, which as we know has benefited our industry greatly. There has never been a better time to invest in self-storage, and my team and I have been preparing for the opportunity that the next recession would provide the seasoned and educated self-storage investors, and that time is now. And rest assured, we are prepared and want to ensure that you are as well. So to make 2021 the year that you launch and grow your self-storage business, we bundled our award-winning self-storage home study course, which has just been updated, and we packaged it with two tickets to the Orlando Academy, along with tickets to our virtual academy for those who can't make it or just aren't ready to go live at this time. And we are making all this available for only $997. That's $2,500 off the list price. So grab your seat before the gone by going to selfstorageinvesting.com/Orlando to grab the bundle and to reserve your spot in Orlando. That's selfstorageinvesting.com/Orlando, and we'll see you there. This is the Self-Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your self-storage business. I'm your host, Scott Myers, and over the past 16 years, we have acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated over 2 million square feet of self-storage nationwide with the help of my incredible team at selfstorageinvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in self-storage. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self-Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers, and this week's guest is DJ Moultrie. Now, DJ is the founder and managing partner of the Black Equity Network, where he focuses on building strategic partnerships and alliances all around the world with the goal of making impact rather than just money through his businesses. DJ is also the founder of the Acquisitions Network, where he serves primarily as a connector in various areas of acquisitions and joint ventures, and is the host of both the How to Acquire podcast and the Black Equity podcast. His background and focus on community collaboration has also led him to a number of volunteer opportunities and community leadership roles both in and around his home base in Charlotte, North Carolina. So DJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to connect again, and thankful that we were able to have you here, because one of the things that I wanted to touch on in our last conversation was just about the strategic alliances you've made and partnerships. You seem to just attract people like a magnet wherever you go. So if you would, fill in the gaps in the bio that I just read to everybody here, and then why don't you, talk a little bit more about that. Tell us a little bit more about your superpower.
Sure. Well, in order for me to find my superpower, I feel like every person who has a superpower, they have to kind of be pushed into a corner to where they have to use it. And I found myself in 2017 studying about wealth and what it really means to be wealthy and to acquire wealth and all these great things about wealth, and came across this idea of racial wealth gap, where there's certain individuals within our country who have obtained wealth, and it just so happens to be that a majority of Black people are not able to obtain the same levels of wealth, just on average, not everybody, of course. And so as I was studying this, I said, I really want to document this. I really want to document by talking to Black entrepreneurs and investors in real time, what is going on? So then maybe we can figure this thing out. And so we launched Black Equity Network and Black Equity Podcast to kind of get down to the bottom, and then also highlight these entrepreneurs and investors and get their story out. And behind the scenes, as I'm listening to people and having these real life dialogues with people, I started seeing a pattern. The pattern that I noticed was it wasn't necessarily a racial wealth gap just based off of race. I noticed something called a networking gap. Because the money that you're going to receive through raising capital or attracting other investors, or not even necessarily money, but just relationships overall in business, it's all going to come from people that you've built a rapport with and a connection with and who you've had communication with. So if you're only speaking to the same type of people all the time, then that's where there's going to be a major gap. And so as we're building out Black Equity Podcast, I said, we're going to have a secondary podcast where we can actually bring the gap together, which is when we launched last year, How to Acquire Podcasts, where we want to sit down and talk to some of the best and brightest investors from different sectors, including yourself. We had you on the last episode of our first season of How to Acquire Podcasts. We appreciate you coming through. Have the best and brightest minds in the investment space share with us their expertise in that particular sector, and then connect those people with some of the people on the Black Equity Podcast side and figure out, well, how do we put together this networking gap, which to me would then solve not necessarily all of the world's problems, but it would solve the people that are involved in these deals. It would solve their problem of being able to get access to the resources, learning how to be resourceful, and building their generational wealth. And so you asked me, well, what is your superpower? I started noticing that I was a really great connector. I started looking back from my childhood and like putting it all together. And I said, wow, I've always been good at this. As someone who grew up as an Army brat and moved around to new cities every 2 or 3 years, I always had to make really great friends, and I always had to figure out a way to connect people from one side of the school to another side, you know, these cliques that people have. How do we connect the different cliques and allow there to be harmony? And so I started realizing in my adult life that skill set had been polished over the years of being able to speak with anyone from any background, really about anything, and finding a common ground and leveraging that for business relationships, whatever that may be. Sometimes that's investments. Sometimes that's strategic partnerships. Sometimes it's borrowing an audience for someone who wants access to a different audience. There's a lot of different ways that we can be resourceful other than money. And so we started putting that to use. And the superpower of being a connector is something I started realizing I need to kind of figure this thing out of what exactly it is so I can use it at its highest potential. And overall, that's where I've really been focusing on the last 3 to 4 years.
All right, edit point, Richie. Sorry about that. I couldn't find the button here. So I'm just add on to this. So DJ, tell us a little bit about what that looks like then, you know, some of the partnerships that you found yourself in more on the acquisition side. We're real estate focused around here, mostly commercial real estate and self-storage. But, you know, what does that look like, especially in perhaps if we could? I felt the same way, but the reason why I had to get really good at creating partnerships was when I was getting into commercial real estate, is because I was broke and my credit was shot coming out of the tenant, right, of the business. And so if I was going to get into commercial real estate and work with more commas and zeros, I knew I had to partner. So, tell me how you took those skills, your skill set, and parlayed that into, getting into the commercial side of real estate.
Sure. So the first thing that I had to figure out was, where is the wealth? Before I can go knocking on doors and building relationships with people, I want to make sure I'm knocking on the right doors. Otherwise, I'm just wasting years of my life trying to connect people who really aren't an advantage to one another. There's no harmony to one another. There's nothing to grow from. So what I started studying is, like you were hinting at, is commercial real estate is a really great way to build generational wealth. And so I started researching some of the people within my network or closely related to our network that I thought would be a really great guest on the podcast. So I found several different investors who came on Black Equity Podcast and just had a regular conversation with them, whether they were publishing a book or developing their own podcast, or putting together a program. I found something that would be useful to our audience, and then also would allow us to kind of have an icebreaker to have something to talk about and build a rapport with one another. So we have our podcast, we have our conversations, and then at the end of the episode, I'm realizing that you know, they have a particular skill set in something, would they be interested in being introduced to someone who could benefit from their skill set, but then also bring in an additional skill set? So for example, there was a commercial real estate investor who came on Black Equity Podcast, and he mentioned that he invested in hotels. Well, 3 weeks prior, I had just interviewed a new up-and-coming hotel advisory firm, women-owned advisory firm, and they were looking to acquire hotels. And it just kind of fell right there. It's like, well, perfect. I know exactly who you need to speak with. So we make these connections. 6 months later, probably not even that long, you start seeing things coming out through social media that they are about to acquire their first hotel using the resources of the gentleman who was on our podcast. And so sometimes it's as simple as paying attention and hearing the signs within the stories that are being told and figuring out, well, how do we bring these two people together, or how do we bring these two entities together so then there could be success for both parties? In that situation, both parties win. The investor can be passive while the advisory hotel group can go out and find the deal, find everything, get it all done. And then the investor can simply, you know, put the money in or put their investment in, however they were, you know, gathering those funds. And so that's just one example of what happens through the power of networking, the power of podcasting. You know, that's a big part of this, is the fact that people want to lend their voice to this conversation. And then also the power of, to me, trust and relationship building. Overall, those were the things that I believe led to that success. And just the last part on that, the hotel advisory group is about to acquire their second and third hotel within the next 2 to 3 months. I know it's going through their final stages. So I'm really excited to see the growth of their company and their growth of their portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's exactly the way we want to do it. And it's certainly not right place, right time. And that comes after years of connecting and making those connections and being able to understand and recognize who your audience is and the asset class that you're working in. So good for you. So tell me, you know, we talk a lot about partnering and going out and finding people, DJ, to work with, mostly in the realm of private equity and how to position yourself and put yourself in a position to be able to not necessarily rub elbows with, but, you know, be in a position where you are working with some folks that have some net worth. And that typically means that they have the means and resources, not just monetarily, but also, you know, they understand real estate, they understand a business in general, so that even if that they do have money and you're talking to them about what a joint venture looks like, a partnership, or any type of collaboration, you know, they get it, they understand that. So where are some of the places that you have gone or that you would recommend going, or how do you put yourself out there? How do you put yourself in a position to be found, if you will?
In the digital space, I found, surprisingly enough, everything is really right there in front of you if you're willing to pay attention to it. So these top sites like Facebook and LinkedIn, I'm trying to think if there's any others, they tend to have these things called groups in them. Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. If you are very specific of your intentions and you join groups that are going to elevate you, you're going to instantly surround yourself with people within those industries, whatever industry it may be. In this situation, we're talking about commercial real estate. You may go on LinkedIn and find a commercial real estate group to be a part of, or just a real estate group in general to be a part of, and introduce yourself and say, hey, this is what I have of value. If anyone would like to take advantage of this value, I would love to build a relationship with anyone in the group who would love to build a relationship with me. And as simple as that may sound, I just kind of choose the people who choose me. So not that doesn't always work, because sometimes the people that are choosing you may not be who you want to choose you. But overall, when you go into those groups, you offer value, whatever that value may be. For me, it's, hey, we would love to speak with you on the podcast, get your name out there, visibility, gain connections, introduce you to a new audience. One thing that I have found with our audience is a lot of people do not know how to reach the Black entrepreneurs or Black investors. They have no idea how to speak that language and have that conversation. And so when they come on our podcast, whether it be Black Equity Podcast or How to Acquire Podcast, they're being introduced to a new market. They're being introduced to a new investor. And that's instantly going to be very valuable to them, because that could cost a lot of money, the customer acquisition or client acquisition. That is a huge expense for a lot of people. And we're cutting that expense down by saying, well, here they are. Here's the people that you would want to speak to. Here's the people that could be valuable to you. As we build a relationship, here's the access that you're looking for. So to answer your question, LinkedIn groups, Facebook groups, and then inside of those groups, it's kind of like the movie Inception, is layers on top of layers, where you're a part, you may bump into someone and someone may mention, well, have you joined this mastermind group? Or, hey, have you thought about being part of this group over here that's not on any of those social media sites, but it's maybe a membership site somewhere else that may be perfect for what you're doing? So really, this whole thing is about relationships and asking the right questions and not being afraid to say, I don't know. I have no idea how to do this. Show me how. And the doors tend to open up that way. Mm-hmm.
I would agree. And I mean, most people want to help anyways. And you know, if you're investing enough time to ask the question and, you know, to meet with somebody or to be on their podcast or what have you, it's just expected that people want to know a little bit more about you. And so that's what they're looking to do. I would agree. Well, so tell me, if you would, DJ, what do you see in terms of, you know, if we're talking about collaboration and partnering and, you know, working with other folks, do you see that there is a greater opportunity, you know, as we head into 2021, you know, facing a recession with some challenges that we will have eventually with funding and, you know, all facets, at least that we see? I mean, you know, self-storage is going great right now, residential real estate going great right now, commercial struggling in many areas, and eventually when we head into the recession and unemployment begins to creep up, we'll see challenges across the board. How do you approach that with that on the horizon? How do you approach the efforts and the things that you're doing right now? Are you looking to increase partnerships, deepen the ones that you have, or, you know, what does the game plan look like as we head into the rest of 2021?
Well, you hit it right on the nail. Deepen the relationships we already have. Just to give everyone a quick understanding, we've been involved in many different industries, and I wrote down a few just to so everyone can understand. We've been in the art industry, healthcare, hotel investments, venture capital, alternative investments. If you go through all the different people we've spoken to, it's at least 30 plus different industries. And so as one industry goes through its downturn, that's okay. And that we planned for that. And so it's time to adjust and spend more time to where it's the tide is going up. And then as commercial real estate comes back or whatever it may be at the time, then we keep, you know, building those relationships there. The goal is to keep all those relationships going and know that things happen in seasons, in my opinion. And being okay with the fact that, okay, they're going through a downturn, this actually could be an advantage. Where some people see this as a huge risk, others are going to be jumping in and wanting to invest. So it just all depends on the appetite of the investor or the collaborator. But to answer your second part, it is about deepening the relationship. And one of the best ways that I found that is to be part of what they're doing. So if someone has, we mentioned art, if someone is putting together an art gallery, going to the art gallery, spending time with that person and learning about what they're doing. If someone's talking about alternative investments, going to their firm in Detroit and having those conversations with them. So yes, to me, it's all about deepening the relationship, but also making sure that you're not stuck into one specific thing. You're able to be multifaceted and go into different industries at different times and have those tough conversations.
Agreed. So tell me a little bit more also, DJ, about, let's touch on maybe the best partnership that you've ever had.
The best partnership I ever had is a company called Health and Her Hue. Okay, this is what I call a silent collaboration, where there's an up-and-coming startup that's specifically designed to increase the health education for women of color and Black women, and elevate the amount of resources that Black women have in the healthcare space. And so this company reaches out. We actually had them on the podcast. The founder, Ashley Wisdom, came on the podcast and was talking about her vision, where she wanted to go. And we ended up talking off the podcast. And we went through over 300 different investors that would be interested in a startup like hers. And so since then, we've seen her win multiple competitions, because we started pointing in the right direction of where are these different places of opportunity. We've seen her win multiple competitions, which then leads to capital coming in. We just witnessed maybe 3 weeks ago her company being featured on Good Morning America. And now we're seeing some other opportunities, potentially from some big names coming in saying, wow, you've gotten a lot of traction. We would like to invest as well. And so those are, I always love silent collaborations where our brand isn't on anything. Our name isn't really out there. It's simply having a conversation with someone, mind mapping a situation, and then stepping back and then allowing that entrepreneur to be the best version of themselves. And kind of being a home base for them. So once they have finished all the media attention, then we can come back and have those conversations of where do we want to go next. And so I'm really excited about Health and Her Hue. I'm excited about another company is Epic Collective. They were recently featured on Black Enterprise. I think we were talking about them earlier. As far as hotel acquisitions, that would be another one of my favorites. They were featured on Black Enterprise as the two youngest Black hotel investors ever. and both of these stories, we were one of the first people to actually capture and document it and then nurture those relationships and see where they go from there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about both of those collaborations. Mm-hmm.
Good. That is exciting. Well, DJ, as we wrap up here, I want to give the folks an opportunity to reach out and connect with you. But one of the Richie, at a point. Well, DJ, I want to thank you for your time. But as we wrap up here, you know, this episode is one in a series, which you're familiar with, that we've been doing over here since last summer, really. And that is Platform for Change, and just really, you know, putting a light on the dark corners of racism in our country, and more specifically as it relates to investing in real estate. So if you would, the platform is yours. So, you know, can you touch on, an area that you see in investing where racism has been difficult, has made an impact, and what that may look like in your investing career or those that you collaborate with, that there may be some challenges that we're still facing today that folks may not be aware of?
I'll say this. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There was a quote I read. I can't remember who said this. But it said, don't trust society, trust your reality. And it took me a little while to process this. And then the way that I've interpreted it, because I always see these quotes of wisdom as almost like artwork. Everybody's going to see it however they want to see it. The way that I interpreted that quote was, all the different things on TV and what everybody's saying out in the media, it's kind of like society. Mm-hmm. So everybody's saying that this is what's happening. This is the current state of the country. And then you'll go outside and you'll meet people of all race, color, background, genders, and everybody loves each other. You know, not everybody, but the majority of people all get along. So mm-hmm. it's this conundrum of, wait, hold on a second. When I go outside and I meet with people and I talk with people, different backgrounds, we seem to be getting along. But then as soon as I turn on my TV, it says the world is over. People can't get along. All races are divided. And this is the worst the country's ever been in years. Things like that. And so don't trust society, trust your reality. So when you ask, you know, how is racism playing a part? I will say this. When I speak with investors who happen to not be Black, and I say, I would love for you to come on the show, because I really want to figure out how we can close this racial wealth gap through networking. Typically, once I start mentioning closing racial wealth gaps, people tend to run, people who are not Black. People who are not Black tend to run whenever the word race comes up. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've seen is not necessarily racism that is causing it, but it's the fear of having to have that conversation mm-hmm. without necessarily the knowledge of, mm-hmm. well, how do I have that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so it scares people off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've had that happen 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. recently mm-hmm. where I thought this person would be a really great person to come on the podcast, have a conversation about their particular sector. And then as soon as I say, well, one of the things that we're looking to do, just so you know, and the reason why I bring it up is because I know that a lot of people that are going to reach out to them are from a certain community. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that, that my name, you know, is attached to this. But second, I don't want them to be going towards something that's going to make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm speaking with someone and I'm saying, hey, let's close this racial wealth gap, and then they run off and I never hear from them again, that's actually a good thing for me, mm-hmm. because I would have hated to, you know, have the conversation, never mentioned it, and then here come 25 Black entrepreneurs ready to work with that individual, and then they don't have the bandwidth to embrace new cultures and embrace different people. Mm-hmm. And so it tends to happen every once in a while where race does play a factor in networking, because people tend to gravitate towards who they're familiar with, who they can understand. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's not a fact of, well, I hate Black people, or I hate Indian people, or I hate Asian people. It's simply, I don't understand them. Mm-hmm. People fear what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays a huge part in raising capital, attracting resources, building alliances, strategic partnerships. You can't be strategic with someone you don't know, trust, and care about. And so to me, that has been one of the huge parts of building a network and building an ecosystem, is finding people from all different walks of life who are willing to embrace other people from different walks of life and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would agree. And I think, you know, you also hit the nail on the head, sitting in the people that may want to entertain that conversation. I think it could be twofold. And one of them, one reason why people may run in the other direction is that they're just ignorant about it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just that I can't have that conversation with you because I know nothing about it. I'm unaware of it. I haven't researched. And so therefore, I don't think I want to engage in it. I think that is one answer. Right. And the second is they don't want to address it because, there's going to be some shame involved in that as well. And, an admission, regardless, and knowing that you're aware of it and you've probably got some stats behind you. And so that it's not a comfortable conversation to have. And I'll be honest with you, DJ, I was aware of it. I think I also wanted to turn a blind eye to it and didn't think it was as anywhere near as bad, if you will, or the gap was as large as it currently is. And that was mm-hmm. a little surprising. So, as we have again, shed a light on the issues that we have with race and multiple races in this country and the treatment of in various fashions, and from credit, the financial markets, to jobs, to pay scale. I was a little ashamed that in our country that that some of these maybe I shouldn't say practices, that's probably not the right word, but just that there's a gap, that there truly is inequality, and that is embarrassing, and so that has been unfortunate to find that out. But again, the only ways that we can make a change in that is to shed a light on it and to bring it to the surface and have a conversation about it so that more people are aware of it. And I believe, as you said, I firmly don't believe that the racism is the issue that people think it is in this country. And that is, that fire is being stoked by the media. And that is unfortunate, like so many things that get blown up because that's how they make money, is by sensationalizing the negative in anything. That's you know, if you want to get ratings, you got to amplify the negative, no matter what that looks like. And it's unfortunate, but that is the basis, and that is the lens through where most of America gets their information and they form their opinions from, is from the talking head on TV or on social media. So without getting on my soapbox, I'm not going to. Certainly, we don't minimize the issues that we have around here by any stretch. But if you sit down and you take a look around, even, you know, in light of again, you know, the atrocities and the crimes that have been committed over the past, well, we can't even just say the past year, but several years that are race related. I've listened to many folks that have been interviewed, the families of the victims, and they are not as hate-driven and as vengeful as the media would portray. You know, this is a horrible event that happened, and they've lost a loved one. But that doesn't mean that they're going to turn around and blame an entire race or an entire country that is based upon this. There are bad apples right everywhere. And there are examples on both sides of that, that not everything has to be turned into and blown up and exacerbated and 10x'd as a race issue, as the media has done. At the end of the day, people still can come together and realize that there's a tragedy that occurred here, and there's an issue at the heart of it. And we need to deal with that. But beyond that, I will step off, I guess, my soapbox and stop preaching at this point. But, you know, this is a place that you know, the time is now, and that's why we haven't stopped. This voice is to recognize that we have to keep the conversation going if we are going to make a change, and I think right now is the time to do so.
And I think it's very powerful what you and your podcast, your network, your family of investors, I think it's very important that you're having these conversations. Mm-hmm. Many people are afraid to, you know, kind of put their voice to this conversation. I've always found that networking best happens when we're not even discussing business at first.
Right. Yeah.
You know, finding something that we have as a common ground. I don't know, golf, art, mm-hmm. Chess, soccer, football, basketball. If we can find common ground, that's so important. So thank you for lending your voice and allowing us to find common ground, and knowing that we want everybody to have, you know, the right to, you know, pursue a life of happiness, mm-hmm. No matter what color they may be, no matter what gender they may be. Everybody, to me, deserves the right to acquire generational wealth, mm-hmm. and be able to pass down legacy to their kids. But you can't do that if, you know, you're being killed. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's something that we have to address and pay attention to, and stop pretending, not saying that you're doing it, but many people are pretending like it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And that ends today.
Yeah. Well, to your point, your solution offered, DJ, is one where we can take a page out of the Japanese culture in terms of how they do business. And that I know many folks that have done business in Japan and with Japanese companies, and you're right, they don't talk about business. Usually it's you come hang out with the board, the president, you know, the whomever, the higher ups, the executive staff of these organizations. And if you're going to do business with them, then you spend several days eating and drinking and visiting their business, and you don't talk about business. until the last 10 minutes before you board the flight, essentially, or hop in the cab or the Uber. And they want to know who they're doing business with first,
Exactly.
more than anything else. And I think if we spend a little more time studying that model, it, I think we put a lot of time and effort into who we're going to marry, and you know, business relationships, large and small, mirror that in large and small ways. And so we, you know, that's the way we need to approach it. All the other stuff is just peripheral until we get to the heart of who it is that we're dealing with. Not what they look
I
like, it's
agree.
what they can bring to me.
I agree 1,000%.
DJ, how can we find you? How can folks find you if they want to connect with you and talk about building those relationships, partnerships, and how you can connect?
Sure. If you want to see what we're doing on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at Black Equity Network. Also, if you want to contact us, you can email us at blackequitynetwork@gmail.com. Also, if you're interested on the acquisition side, you can follow us on Instagram at Acquisitions Network, and you can email us at howtoacquire@gmail.com. I'm really excited about some new initiatives that are going to be coming in the future. Can't release them yet, but just go ahead and follow us, stay connected with us, and look forward to speaking with you and continue building relationships. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Looking forward to it. DJ, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much as well, Scott. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Hey, gang, wait, three things before you leave. First, don't forget to subscribe to the Self Storage Podcast and turn on your notifications so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram, and don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit the follow and subscribe button on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us. Take care.